Korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
No, come on. He's got a dirt bike. Rides a dirt bike at 6 years
old. Wow. That's pretty rad.
Well, he's my kid. Of course he's a badass, you know?
Of course. We're going to get into that about how you built a shed in your backyard and everything. And yeah. I was going over some of your stuff. I'm like, man, it's crazy, man. You've had a crazy life.
Yeah, it's been all right.
But it's funny, man. Like both me and you have like severe ADHD, so this quarantine is like.
Oh, dude! Like I'm going nuts.
I mean, you're doing like, cause you do like 100 things, man. Like between being a stunt guy and training yourself, and doing comedy, and being a parent, and fly fishing, and all this other stuff. I can't imagine you just stopping all of that.
I was just on the phone with a. My buddy just called. He's out scouting somewhere right now for a place to camp. He's out on his dirt bike driving all over the place. It's one of the guys from the first season of Ultimate Fighter. His name's Alex Schoenauer. And so he's out there dirt biking looking for some spots for us to bring the boys to camp. And he'll let me know. Send some bombs up there, son. Yeah, send it up there. Blow those guys to pieces.
I'm recording this, by the way, because we record before the show, too, just so you know.
Yeah,
I don't even take – I used to take her and the baby for walks. I mean, her and the dog for walks. I don't even do that anymore. Like, I'm not putting a mask on a two-year-old. I can't do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I can't even explain it to – well, you have to wear a two-year-old because a guy ate a bat in China, and now everybody's – it's like
– yeah. Dude, have you seen what that wet market looks like?
No.
Jeez, don't do it.
Really?
Yeah, don't do it. It's bad. Like, they got kittens and puppies and stuff there to eat, and they're just sitting there waiting to be, you know, bought and brought home and poached. That's how they do it. They just throw them right into and poach them, instant poach them. It's so gross.
I did comedy in Wuhan.
Yeah?
I did actually the stand-up comedy in Wuhan. It was crazy. They didn't speak any English. We told them we want a regular show. Just, you know, it's like not even called comedy. It's called American Talk Show because it's American Talk Show.
Sure.
And they gave us a smoke machine because they thought it was like a rock show. So right when they introduced me, I just get blazed with like all this. I can't see. I'm like coughing. The crowd, like 80% don't speak English. They're just staring at me like, what the fuck is going on? And then people started laughing because it was like so ridiculous, you know? And I'm like, oh, the air is not bad enough in this country. You got to put your smoke machine. Like I was trying to make the best out of. I told you, they encourage pollution over there. I'm not kidding. Like I went and threw something away and my buddy who lived there was like, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean? Like you have to leave it on the floor. Like a Starbucks cup. I'm like, why? Like, oh, well, it creates more jobs.
Wow.
So, yeah, that country's all like.
It's different.
It's a lot of short-term thinking there, you know? Yeah, the short-term right. That creates more jobs. The long-term, you're going to fuck up the whole world. Yeah, yeah.
You know? In our, thanks a lot, guys. And leave the bats alone, too. Don't be annoying and loud, okay? Because this is a very important meeting.
We're going to talk about Fight Island. I think
who do we got on the show today?
We got Greg Wilson, who is a really funny comic, loud, short, fat, obnoxious, but really funny. I love him. And then this guy, Tyler Smith, who I coach wrestling with. He was an amateur fighter. He also is a Marine and a super nice guy. Now he's a big stoner. And then we have Max Griffin calling in. You know, Max Payne Griffin. Yeah.
Why do I know him?
Max Griffin beat Mike Perry. He lost his last fight against Cowboy Oliveira, but it was a real close fight. He's been around. He's just like he's been like a kind of a fringe guy. Like he's right there, but he always like he just comes short, but like it's always a split decision loss to like Thiago Alves, and you're just like, it was like right there, but you could easily argue that he won every fight that he lost. You know, which is like the most frustrating thing, which we're gonna talk about that because he's like right there. You know, that's gotta be. He's the worst because I always bet on him because I always bet on the guys I like, and I'm always like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Did you think I was hoping that they would have pulled it off, the Ferguson versus Gaethje Fight Island card.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. Let's talk about it then. That way I can talk about it twice and bore me to death talking about things twice. Bro, quiet. I'm on an important meeting.
We had Phil Baroni on recently.
How'd that go?
He's doing all right. He's living in Albuquerque, but he thinks everyone has SARS. He didn't even know it was coronavirus. He's like, "What is this freaking SARS right now?" We're like, "No, it's coronavirus."
That guy's a mess. Love that guy. He's hilarious. I love talking to that guy. He's funny, dude.
He's unintentionally the fun. He's like,
yeah.
He knows he's funny because people are laughing at him. But
he ain't trying to.
He's kind of trying to, like, I think he, like, he knows he's onto something, you know? And then we had Don Fry on with Jessica Penny, who, like,
He talked about his wife. He talked about his wife at all.
No, they're divorced.
Oh, she left him.
Yeah, yeah. It like, killed him. But I think the Me Too movement skipped over Don Fry. Because he's like, we had his girl on, this pretty fighter, Jessica Penny. He's like, "Hey, you want to sit on my mustache, go for a ride?" It's like,
yeah, he's a dude. He helped put Pride on the map.
Yeah,
jeez, he had some good fights over there at Pride too, man. Holy moly!
Yeah,
I remember. I just watched an Instagram thing that Mick Maynard reposted. It was Nogueira versus Bob Sapp.
Oh, wow.
I was there for that one. Literally, I was there in the crowd watching it.
You were in Japan?
I was in Japan. Yeah, I went out there with Hoist. Hoist fought Yoshida, had a fight with the gi on. Remember that?
I remember. Didn't all Hoist's fights have the gi on pretty much for the first?
Well, they both did. They both agreed to fight in the gi.
Oh, wow.
And it was controversial because it's called an Ezekiel choke, where you grab the sleeve of your gi and wrap around the neck and start, you know, you make a choke that way. He caught Hoist in that, but didn't have it on. You know, he was just attempting it and looked up to the ref and played the ref and said that he was out because Hoist, you know, when he gets caught in a position or whatever, he don't struggle to get out. He'll just lay there and wait for you to go ahead and be like, "What's he doing? He's not doing anything. Now I'm going to do something," and then he gets away. So that's what he was doing. He was just sitting there waiting for him to stop, and the referee called it.
Oh, wow.
Waved it off, yeah. Wait, done, waves it. It's like, "Done, he's done." Hoist gets up. It's like, "What is going on?" So, yeah, that happened.
Did they restart it, or that was the end of the fight?
No, that was the end of the fight. The ref waved it off. That's it. It's over.
Wow. That was, by the way, Hector Lombard's calling me. He's a huge Trump supporter, Hector. And he wants to debate an MMA fighter on politics. So we think this is going to go really very entertaining for the fans.
Oh, joy.
It's going to be funny. By the way, this is Tyler Smith. We got the great Mike Pyle on today with us.
What's up, Mike?
What's happening?
I'm like you, man. I'm still sitting in bed.
I was telling him that you're a Marine and an amateur fighter and a wrestling coach and a pothead. So
amateur part I noticed. I didn't see the rest.
I'm all of those things.
Hold on, I gotta stop my vacuum cleaner from vacuuming.
You got DJ Roomba going?
Wife, stop vacuuming. No, it was the wife.
Oh, there you go. Even better. No,
I'm kidding. That is, yeah, that's one of those. But I got pillows and stuff. The kids made a fort, and now it can't get through the.
No, the vacuum cleaner can't clean because the kids' pillow forts in
there. Yeah, yeah, I've got pillows everywhere, so I just shut it off.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
Nah, it's not the worst thing.
So how's the quarantine treating you? I'm sure.
It's good, dude. I just jump in the backyard. I'll throw some weights around.
Hell yeah.
Pet my turtle and shit.
You got turtles?
I got a tortoise, actually.
One tortoise?
Exact, yes. One tortoise.
That's fucking awesome. Don't those things live till like 100 years old?
Yeah.
Or they can?
I don't know if you can. Can you see them in there? Can you see them at all?
I think I can. Yeah. I think I see him. He's moving a little bit, right? Moving his leg?
Yeah, he moved a little bit.
That's fucking awesome. I always wanted a tortoise. When I was a kid, I always wanted a tortoise. And now I'm like, I got nowhere to put him. And
yeah, he came the neighbors down the street had a couple of tortoise that they had for some years, and they bred. And then these little half-dollar size turtles were popping up in people's yards everywhere because they hatched, you know? So I kept one.
How big are you going to get?
You want to hear a crazy story about something like not similar but kind of similar? When my dad was managing Alice Cooper, right? You know, they used to carry a snake with them, a huge boa, a huge snake. And and they would put it, because that was like in the middle of the show, Alice would take out a snake and start playing with it. So they would keep it in the hotel bathtub, wherever they stayed at. So one day they wake up and this freaking snake's missing.
Oh no.
Holy shit, what happened to our snake? But they were late for a plane. They had to catch a plane. They were on tour. They just left. What did they do? Say, hey, guys, by the way, our snake is in your hotel somewhere. So they just bounce.
No way.
Then, like, a month later, they're reading, like, the newspaper. And the hotel they were at, this country singer named Charlie Pride, was taking a dump. And the snake came up through the toilet.
What?
Yeah, the guy went to wipe his ass and then all of a sudden finds a fucking snake up there. I
mean, holy shit, dude.
I mean, how much would that, like, you'd never be able to take a shit again in your life, right? I mean,
I couldn't wait to go take a shit again to see.
Yeah, but not everyone's like Kyle.
I mean, I would be like, I wish I had diarrhea right now.
Oh my God. That's
a hell of a story.
I wish I had diarrhea. That's so
Hey, so how does this Zoom work? Whenever, if it picks up your voice, then it goes to your device and it'll show you, and because it keeps flipping back and forth.
You can't do that, but there's a setting up there that where you could say, see everybody at once in your top right, where it says, it says speaker view. You could see everybody. And then you could see all four of us. Because the way that you have it now, Mike, it like is annoying because you only see the person talking. But there's another setting top right where you could see all four of us. It looks like we're
really?
Playing yeah.
Oh, gallery view, yeah.
Like a Hollywood Squares.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
we
yeah.
go.
Yeah, gallery view is looking better.
Shit, yeah. I didn't even know that.
Really?
I've been in the stupid speaker view the whole time, yeah.
Oh, no, it's great. So you can see how people are reacting to what you're saying.
Hi, Greg. Oh.
Cool. Hey, what's up, Tyler? What's going on, man?
Ready and action. What's up, people?
Yeah, this guy.
Welcome to the brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We have Mike Pyle with us. Mike Pyle is the legend, Mike Pyle. We have the Greg Romero Wilson. I'm putting them all together.
So many names. I have so many names.
And then we got Tyler Smith with us, the Marine, the fighter, the pothead, the wrestling coach.
I love that that's part of it now.
Yeah.
Marine, former fire, jiu-jitsu brown belt, stoner.
Hey, that's his way of saying, but he's still cool.
Yeah, I'm still cool.
I don't know. I think all those things are cool. We're going to have a great show. We also have Max Payne Griffin joining us in about a half an hour. So, it's going to be a great show. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, do not leave your house during this pandemic. Marijuana is legal in California. Get it delivered right to you, okay? Don't leave your house. When you get it, maybe you might want to wash it off or disinfect it or whatever you do with your other stuff, okay?
Read down with Clorox.
But get it. Go to speedweed.com. Go go to @speedweed. A couple things. Mike Pyle. So let me talk to you for a second. I know you're from Tennessee. You're a home of like, what, 100 people? Not a home, a town of 100 people. How are you holding up during this pandemic?
Oh, dude, man, I'm going nuts. I need to do something. I like to be outside. I like to go fish. I like, you know, I'm going crazy. I want it to be over with.
Yeah. And Greg, how are you doing?
Can I tell you? I mean, listen, I'm proud of myself. It's noon and I'm not drunk. So for me, this is an accomplishment. Can I tell you the bar for the accomplishment of waiting to get drunk keeps, first it was 5 o'clock. I was like, if I just wait till 5, then it became 3:30 and now it's noon. If I can at least make it to noon without getting drunk, I'm very proud of myself.
Then the rest.
Now, do you start drinking at noon and then take a nap, or like, is it just?
Oh yeah.
Hey, it's
oh
like,
yeah. No,
like
there's noon. Noon
four, and then the sleep noon, cycle, and then drunk from noon to four again.
The noon drunk leads to a late lunch, which leads to a late afternoon nap, which then leads to an early evening drunk, and then dinner and online poker, and then I'm out. That's the schedule.
Wow. So cocaine's out, though. Cocaine's out.
I you know, I don't trust it. I think if I'm going down, not going down on cocaine. That's not how I'm going to get it.
I don't
you
trust
it. You can't do coke alone in a quarantine, man. That's just sad.
You don't have to do it alone. You can do coke via Zoom, by the way.
I'm down.
I know, because I've seen it done. I've been involved in coke Zoom parties, you know, where I did the very last of my pre-COVID coke.
Oh, that's crazy.
Now, I was going to say, like, so as a comic, you know, I'm sure, man, it's crazy because no matter how bad my day goes during the day, how many times I get rejected by Hollywood or auditions or whatever else, stand-up comedy is, like, the best. It's like I could end with making people laugh. The more you do it, the better you get. People are crying. I'm like, I'm fulfilled. I can go to sleep. This pandemic took all that away.
Yeah.
So, it's just every day is like, it just ends with the day's over. Like, I don't have, and it's like all your superpowers are gone. All like, and then I realized that like comedy is my therapy. Is that what happened a little bit when you stopped fighting?
No, because you know, when the thing is the fighting that just happens for that night, right? So, and that would always, you know, come around every every 3 months, you know, every 4 months, something like that. It's the training and it's the gym. It's that. That's what still can keep me sane, because I still get to the gym, smack up all the young boys when they try to get smart with me, choke them out, and send them on their way.
I love but, that.
So I can still get that release. I can still get in there and, you know, and be like, you know what I'm going to do today? Today I'm going to work on just an arm lock, or today I'll just work on just defending the choke and make, you know, I can make up scenarios for myself and still go in and get that done. But right now I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even get to the gym. But, you know, after the fighting, yeah, to answer your question, the short or the long is I the competition part I miss, but it's the, you know, the everyday gym thing is always there for me still. So, I didn't get that empty feeling, other than I don't fight anymore. And that's my identity. That's what I've always been identified as. And now I don't do it anymore. It's really strange. So
no, yeah, I hear you.
What's that transition like?
I was missing it so much that like I did a Zoom show Saturday night.
How'd that go?
Well, so I got like, you know, I'm like, okay, all right, my kid just fell. That's pretty much how it like went right there. So yeah, that's exactly how the show went. I people started crying. No, so I did a Zoom. I'm sitting on a chair and she tried to climb up and just fell. So it kind of happened. So
that's what happens with kids.
Video. We've seen it all.
So yeah. I did a Zoom show and so immediately we got hacked, right? Which it never happens during a comedy show. Like you would think like, okay, we got 100 people that want to get together and hear jokes. People be happy. People can't have that. And I wasn't unfamiliar. So right away, someone just starts yelling the N-word, you know, at me on Instagram. All of a sudden, the whole screen becomes porn. Like,
wow.
Somebody's drawing dicks. And I'm just like, thank God somebody knew what they were doing. Yeah. And they're like, Adam, let me, make me the monitor. So I'm like, okay, I have a friend of mine. And he muted everybody. And then we started the show. And the show went well. But at first, I'm like, I'm under attack. I'm under attack. Like, I was like, this is awful. As far as the actual show went, it was a little weird because we had to mute people because, like this, if someone just goes like that or that, it like creates sound, even if they're not trying to heckle or be a dick. So we muted everybody at first. And then when I decided they were, if I knew them and they were good enough listeners, I would unmute them with like telling them, hey, watch the sound, like whatever. So you kind of need somebody working it that knows what they're doing. But I'll tell you, man, it felt great to get a laugh. It felt like, it was like the heroin. It wasn't real heroin, real marijuana. It was like synthetic marijuana, you know? But it felt like, I felt complete again. I'm not going to lie. And it was a bunch of new jokes that I wrote. That like, that's the thing with comedy is that you get that immediate feedback. Like if you're a screenwriter, or you're an actor or whatever, you can make the greatest thing ever. But by the time it comes out, either people forgot about it or the editor fucked it up or they got canceled or whatever, you know? Comedy, joke, and 3 seconds later, you get a response, which is the best.
Not bad.
So,
not a bad way to live.
Greg, you?
Hey, listen. That's the thing. I mean, I was waiting to do a 1 hour special, right? And I was just at the point where I was like, I need to do this material. I need to release this special myself. Go ahead and go the DIY. I'd almost given into it. And now it's like, does anyone give a shit about any of this now after this event? We're going to go back out there. No one's going to want to talk about cell phones. Nobody's going to walk, you know, like all these other school shootings. And, you know, it just doesn't matter. You know, I think it's all going to seem so superfluous now. You know, it's almost like I have to start over again and build a whole new hour.
Yes, but isn't it kind of cool, though, in some ways, on the other hand, that some of these issues, like, I identify as a he, him, or she, her, like, some of the things that were driving everyone crazy, people are just like, I don't want to hear anymore. And like,
they don't exist?
I mean, not that particular, because that is important to a lot of people, but I'm saying the things that just seem like they're like kind of trivial. Versus,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we built these were things that were important pre-COVID that now are yeah. It's like, why are we even talking about this now?
Yeah, now you know, the world has completely changed. Real problems, and we actually
have real life and problems that we all share. Yeah.
Yeah, but good comics like yourselves will find light and find comedy and all this new shit. You'll figure something out. It'll spark something in you. It's got to. You guys have.
Oh no! Without question, this is definitely
gonna be nerd. It's gonna be nasty, isn't it?
If I do it, it probably is. Yes, I'm gonna be talking about all kinds. You know, the nasty side of all this. You know, the porn side. I mean, geez, can you imagine if they had turned off the porn during this?
Oh my God,
there'd be riots in the streets right now.
There'd be riots.
There was. Guys would just be on their porch jacking off. I mean, it'd be fucked up.
Your flip flops will get stuck to the pavement. You'll walk right out of them.
Exactly. It'll be like walking on blue paper everywhere. From dudes just dropping load.
Just everywhere.
You
know?
You walk outside, I think it's like snowing, but it's some guy in his fucking terrace.
Is that an all time high?
Milky rain. Thank God. And I've seen more than a few people post about them thinking they've reached the end of porn. It's Jesus Christ, your dick must look like hamburger meat.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The end of porn is just like probably like some kind of pastor shaking his head. Just like a disappointed rabbi, just like, come on, man.
Yeah, like, you did it. I hope you're proud of yourself. Your dick's all inflamed.
There's no being proud of yourself after that. You're not proud of yourself.
No,
it's 100% shame, but you did it.
Yeah, immediate shame.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's the thing, it is, at on a certain level, though, it is still an accomplishment.
It is.
Oh, yeah, but you don't have to.
When you got all
the always proud of that in the next room,
you're hearing people talking in the next room, you're still trying, you still get it done. Yeah, man, that's an accomplishment.
It is.
Speed rounds.
Now, Pyle, so I was telling you before, so what happened was Khabib and Tony, they were like that fight got canceled, and they were going to do Ferguson versus Gaethje, and couldn't find a spot. So we're talking about maybe either Tachi Palace. because it's Indian reservation.
Sure.
Not many regulations there, I guess.
Cali, yeah.
Or Dana White said he was building Fight Island, which is an island.
Yeah, man. Fight Island.
Deep Lane.
Which is an island.
I'm into Fight Island.
It's an island.
It's more like Deplate. Pass Deplate.
Now, they're going to have Fight Island, and the fighters were down to do it. Like, people were excited about, like, the fact of, like, boats bringing fighters over
the
island. But then what happened was Gavin Newsom, I think it was, and because the UFC is now part owned by Disney, and they were like, no, we can't do it. Yeah, like, I guess when
ESPN, you know, obviously, who broadcasts most of their fights, they're owned by Disney. And so that relationship became paramount to saying no. Cool.
Well, because freaking Gavin Newsom called the head of Disney and was like, look, put a leash on your boy.
And that's what they did.
Like, what are they going to do? Like, fuck you, governor of California. Like, okay, yes, sir.
No, I have two thoughts on this. One of my thoughts is that, like, look, these are all adults. They know what they're getting into. Just becoming fighters in general, you guys are taking the risk of brain damage and everything else when you go in there. And if guys want to do it, I mean, these are the healthiest people on the planet, these athletes, you would think. Let them do it, you know? On the other hand, they said they might take away ambulance space and hospital space, people that have corona, and now all of a sudden the guy's going in there because he's got a fucked up eye or something, and now the person with corona can't get the treatment they want, as well as if something bad happened and someone tested positive, now all of a sudden it's great, you fucking, this is what you guys did. Pyle, what are your thoughts?
I mean, let us fight, man. Let us fight.
There it is.
Just let us fight. What's the worst that's going to happen? You got one guy that went in because his eyes cracked, and you got one person with corona. They're going to die anyway. Let the guy get his eye fixed. Jesus.
And what's the chances of that even happening, you know?
And what's the chances of that? You know what I mean? Yeah. All jokes aside, look, do it.
So, Max Payne Griffin, is there a setting that you could put the video on? Because we can't
see that little guy up there. I don't know what the fuck's going on right there.
Yeah, just press that little guy.
Press that little guy.
Exactly. The little man in the canoe, you want to press him.
Oh, there he is. Max Payne Griffin, you're here with Mike Pyle, Greg Wilson, Tyler Smith. How's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. You had an awesome fight last time. I thought you won that fight against Cowboy Oliveira.
Some people think I did, you know?
Yeah.
What can you do?
Now, it was a fight where you hurt the guy in the beginning. You had him hurt, and then you chose to go to the ground. Looking back, you think that might have been a mistake?
No. I mean, it's not a mistake. You know, I worked my game plan, but in the second round, the cut really affected me, man. I'm not going to make any excuses, but when they asked me if I was okay, it was like a – I mean, I was for sure okay and was going to fight, but it was like a glassy – like a misty window already, you know.
Oof.
And you know, and after then it was just, you know, distance was hard for me to do. I didn't really have like depth perception, so it was hard to get in, and
that's right, you know.
Then it got real bloody, shit was burning my eyes, I couldn't see shit. Close fight, man.
Well, that ever happened to you?
What's that?
That ever happened to you in a fight?
I'd gotten poked in the eye and got, you know, cloudy, and had a little bit of, you know, depth perception was off and couldn't really, you know, find my rhythm with my hand. So I grappled, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of tried to just make a get in where I could.
It's almost there.
You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
I gotta say, Max, in that third round, man, you were down. I mean, well, it looked like it was even, and the guy was on top of you, and there was about 2 minutes left, and they were like, the guy was, I think Rogan or someone was like, listen, if Max wants to win, he's got to do something. And it was like a movie. Something came into you, and you just flipped the guy and put him on his head. And I was going crazy. Now,
that's a bad position to be in. Like that topside leg ride, that wrist control, it's bad. So you can't just burst out of it. You kind of got to wait, and you know, it could have got real bad. It was close to not getting out of that. You know what I mean?
But did you have that voice in your head that like, gotta do something, man? Gotta get out of here.
I had to do something, and that was the moment. Crazy fight, man. At that point, when I was on my back, I couldn't see anything. My blood was like filled my eyes, like my eye sockets. And when I looked, it looked like a yellow kaleidoscope. So that last 2 minutes, I couldn't see. I had zero.
Damn.
I was trying to blink. I've never had blood like that. Like trying to blink, it's like sticky. It's hard to explain. It's like real oily. It doesn't go away though. You know, I'm trying to blink my fucking balls off. You know, you just.
Now, Kyle, let's look at your career, man. Like, so you started out, you built a shack in your backyard.
No, that existed already. That already existed. That was about the dimensions of it was 13 feet by 15. I had a lot of makeshift carpets and old carpet padding, and then I put a tarp over the top of that, a mat.
And you were like, I want to be a fighter, right? Then you were putting in Gracie VHS tapes.
No, just anything that I could at the time. This is 95. This is 1995, by the way.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I'm watching.
Oh, gee.
I'm watching, step by step. I'm watching step by step. How to grapple, I think it was Marcos. What was that guy's name that fought in UFC that kept chopping that guy's legs back?
Marcos Hua?
Yes. Yep. So I got one of his videotapes on how to foot lock, leg lock, and arm lock and choke. I got it out of Black Belt magazine. Had it, you know.
Nice.
Awesome. Learning how to do things on a grappling dummy and also my cousin dummy. He would come over and then, we'd chief it up and then get out there and start rolling around and try to figure it out. And, yeah, that's so basically
your first fight is up against – you go there and you're fighting Rampage Jackson. Your first
That's Rampage Jackson's first fight, not mine.
Oh, that was your – okay. Because on your thing
– that's the way it is on Sheer Dog.
Yeah.
All the records, you know, that he – you know, that we were each other's first fight, but I was his first fight, and I had several other fights.
Now, he misses weight by 25 pounds.
Mm. No, the deal was, the guy called me, who is now a judge and part of the commission in here in Vegas. Anyway, so this is on Bill Street. He calls me and says, yeah, man, your guy's out. You're out. Oh, man, I want to fight. He goes, well, we don't have anybody. I said, you don't have anybody at all. Well, the Rampage will do it. All right, let's do it. Because I knew who Rampage was because we knew each other. We knew each other through the grappling circuit. And he used to pick people up and slam them out with his he used to do that way back in the day. And I said, yeah, let's do that. And I'm 170 pounds walking around, you know, 220, you know, or whatever. And I said, yeah, let's do it. I don't care. So I did it. Stop,
and then,
son.
And then during the fight, he throws you out of the ring.
He's got him in a rear naked choke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
throws me out of the ring a couple of times, actually.
Now, when you threw out of the ring, did you think to yourself, like, what the fuck am I doing here? Why am I doing this?
Kinda. But at the same time, I'm like, let me get after him. I'm going to get him, man, because there's a couple of times I got close to getting an arm lock. You know what I mean? There was a couple of times where if I just get a couple more chances and he thinks that he's going to be able to slam me every one of them, I bet you I can land it. So this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm just going to doing it until until I can't.
This kid's gonna be a champ.
So yeah. But, you know, but what I did want to do, I wanted to rest a bit. You know, we went three rounds, and then as he was throwing me out, you know, my corner start pushing me back in. This is in a ring, by the way, not a ring. So I'm kind of like, oh my God, let me get some air. Let me breathe a little bit. Let's just play this. Let's play it out a little bit. And let me breathe. But they weren't. They just shoving me back in, and we get in there and get back after again.
Oh my God.
Good time.
Your next fight's against John Fitch.
Yeah.
You sub John Fitch, but Fitch must have been easy compared to Rampage. If you fight Rampage, you're still.
I fought Rampage for three rounds. He was – before that, I'd won every one of my fights in the first round with minutes. And then I ran into this beast. And then that's when I also said to myself, like, man, I'm flopping to the ground to get to the ground because I can't get him to the ground. You know, I can't wrestle him because he was a good wrestler and he's strong as hell. So that's also when I said, I got to learn how to wrestle. Like, I can't just flop to my back and do jiu-jitsu with everybody because I can't get everybody down. You know, I want to get to the ground, but I took them down, but I couldn't even get close. Couldn't even get close to taking this guy down. So that was a good thing for me and my, you know, my career. Just, you know, it opened my eyes. Like, man, I need to wrestle. I need to learn to wrestle. That's, you know, right. Wrestling a lot more. And I beat John in the first round with, I think, in like hardly 2 minutes, took him down, took his back and choked him.
What's up, people? With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join us today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
Now,
Max, I read that you're the king of Sacramento.
Yes, sir.
How does that happen? How does one become the king of Sacramento?
Man, I've, you know, fought out here my whole life. We had this fight organization, West Coast Fighting Championship, and this guy, David Mitchell, was at a Team Alpha Male.
I know David.
Yeah, yeah. David Bulletproof Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitch.
Yeah. Wild dude, man. Wild dude.
I always remember when we were trained, I think we trained just a few times, but boy, his armpits. Woo, that boy could smell out the room.
I believe it. So I was a West Coast Fighting Champion for a few years. And then I head down to Tachi and did that. And at the same time, David Mitchell pops up on the scene. I guess he got cut by the UFC and came up. And he's like, oh, nice to meet you. You know, we're going to go against each other. At that point, I didn't know who he was. But then he was just talking shit for about 3 years. We were going back and forth. Or, you know, he was going at me, but I was in Tachi. You know, he was saying I was dodging him. But when he got out the UFC, he waxed like 8 full straight. So he, you know, he was the man. He was at a Team Alpha Male too. And at this point, they were like our rival gym. So locally, I fought a few Team Alpha Male guys. So it was huge. The whole city was there. This fight finally happened, sold out event. There was like media production, all this stuff. But it was wild. But if you look it up, we finally fight, knock him out in like 40 seconds, drop him like 3 times in the fight. There's riots in the crowd.
Oh.
It was sack on sack, but it was bad because, you know, Team Alpha Male had a huge crew, and we had, I mean, history in the making. But that was the moment that, you know, that's the fight that got me signed.
Now, you you made peace with Team Alpha Male your last camp. You actually did your camp with Team Alpha Male.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I mean, we weren't even at war. It was just that we were fighting. You know, I was fighting their best guy. They wanted me to lose. Naturally, there's going to be some kind of problem, you know?
When you came, was it like a Lollipop Guild like showed up and they all like, was it like a...
It's been squashed for years, man. It's been squashed for years, but...
Let Adam bring it back to life. He will.
I would say this has got to be the hardest quarantine for, like, I mean, Tyler Smith is like a, he's like a guy waiting for the end of the world anyway. He's a Marine that, like, is preparing this. But Greg Wilson has the worst ADD ever. And fucking Pyle, I mean, you were just getting going with your stunts. I mean, you were booking left and right and left and right. Now, I know a lot of fighters out there watch the show. And a lot of people want to go into stunts after fighting. And, you're successfully making it as a stunt guy. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. You know, as some of you may know, that Hollywood is, it's a lucrative business.
If you got your hair. Look at that John Cougar Mellencamp. That's awesome.
Blood on the scarecrow. Blood on the
yeah.
I mean, you could. It's good. It's easy money. And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you get your ass kicked, or you get thrown through a wall, or got to go through some plate glass window, and you get a little cut up. But other than that, a lot of times it's just you're just you know, like a lot of times you'll see, like if Adam was the lead character and he's the tough guy and he's always got some goons that are standing behind him and never say anything and they just shoot people, you know, sometimes you get, that's considered a stunt too, you know, they'll hire stunt guys to just, you know what I mean? So you don't have to, you know, necessarily flip cars over and drive fast, but if they call on you to do so, then you either can do it or you can, or do a high fall or something like that. But it's fun, man.
And you're making more money than everybody else on set except for the freaking stars.
Yeah, yeah, you're the pay scale, just, you know, it's all the same, the fair shake across the board, unless you're within negotiating, you know, position, which I'm not.
Right.
You were also in Universal Soldier 3.
Yeah, I starred in that. I've done some acting as well, and I do some here and there. That was fun. That was Universal Soldiers 18. but that was fun. So that was fun. I didn't do any stunts in that, just a bunch of acting. I mean, and I did a lot of, and again, you do a lot of fight scenes. So a lot of times I'll double an actor. And if there's, you know, a big fight scene, just do the fight scene and don't ever show your face and kind of just, you know,
shoot around it.
Are you still training at all, Max, right now?
Yeah, I'm doing what I can, man. I know there are some people training on the low and all this shit, but I'm not with it. You know, I was kind of not surprised by all this, but when I fought in Vegas, it was the kind of last weekend of everything.
Yeah.
That fight might be in the last, like, live fight in who knows.
Yeah.
I got, I got shit for going to the fight because we went and I got shit for it for my girlfriend. She's like, I can't believe you're gonna go to Vegas during all this. And I was like, I've had this plan for months. Like, the fighters are fighting, I just have to sit in the stands and drink. So it's not, you know.
Yeah. So with the timing was weird. So I fought. I usually take about a week, 2 weeks off after a fight just to not do shit and do what I want. And so when, you know, after that happened, I mean, right when I got back, they started a lockdown, started getting serious. So once I was ready to train again, like, everywhere was getting closed down. So it's been an interesting, interesting thing. I've been doing stuff on my own, you know, hitting the bag, running around, doing what I can, but it's not the same.
Now, but, you know, I read you're a black belt in Bok Fu.
Uh huh. What? That was a long time ago.
What the hell is
Bok Fu?
It's a chicken dish. It comes with like a rice meal. Is that right? It's in a peanut sauce? It's a peanut sauce.
Nah, it's a mix. Nah, it's a hybrid of martial arts, like kung fu, karate, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu. It's a few different things, but, you know, it's a hybrid because not everything works. Like taekwondo, they can't punch for shit. It's all kicks. So, you know, we got a lot of kicks from taekwondo, a lot of the movement from kung fu. And, you know, so I did that when I was younger, have a black belt in that. So it's kind of like an MMA of martial arts kind of, because we kind of did a lot of different stuff in there. Well,
dude, Mike Pyle was like, hey, man, me and Pyle have been friends forever. And he's like, hey, I want to give you do you want to train together? And I go to Vegas. I'm like, absolutely, right? So we do mitts, and I'm having a blast. Then he's like, all right, tomorrow, same time. I'm not going to say no to Mike Pyle training me. But then he got committed to it. He's like, all right, Thursday you have your press conference. And then he was like, Friday, we're going to weigh in. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But because it's Pyle, I'm not going to say no. I'm like, all right, I'll be there. And I'm there a week doing comedy. Now I can't move by like Friday. I'm like, I hope he gets work. I'm like, I'm calling like casting people to book him or something, you know? Then he's like, Saturday, we're sparring, right? So like I'm sparring, but he's not. I could tell, you know, Mike is a professional, and I'm like, we do like 9 rounds. I'm fucking out. Then I turn around and Roxanne Modafari is in the cage, and he's like, time to grapple her. Time to fight her. I'm just like, you gotta be fun. And everyone has their cameras out.
So did she roll you up or what?
I just took her down and held her. I just took her down. I was fighting for my life there.
Took her down and sat in side control.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Mike's like, stand him up. Action. It was.
Don't try to do you out there, man.
Yeah.
I want them to have a good time. Put them in the spotlight real quick.
That was the best time I've had in a long time. But I showed my wife. I'm like, hey, I had a sparring match today. She's like, who? And I show her Roxanne Modafari's face. And she was like, this is who you're sparring against? I'm like, dude, you don't understand. She's tough.
This is who I'm losing.
It's Modafari, by the way.
By the way, Modafari, who I think you and John Wood are the most underrated coaches, because this girl was on a 6-fight losing streak. On The Ultimate Fighter, it looked like she should retire in some of her fights. You're just like, she's getting the shit beaten out of her. You guys took her, and she's won, 7 out of her last 8?
Yeah, she's
murdering people. She's a
great martial artist.
She really is. There was a switch at some point, maybe like 3 fights ago, where she like really understood that, oh, I'm like, I can beat the shit out of these girls on the ground and there's nothing they can do. Like, I can, she's khabibing people.
Yeah.
It's like seeing Roxy just dominate is so cool. Like,
well, I'm so happy for
her right now.
Another thing,
you know,
so unexpected.
Yeah, well, another thing that one thing she never really did was do strength and conditioning, right? So she
me never, either. Weakest part of my game, bro. Weakest part of my game.
But so she started getting stronger. So she started doing that. She started doing, you know, all the explosive things and it, you know, the hard workouts and picking heavy weight off the floor and moving it around. You know what I mean? Just, you know, good hard work.
When she started, she was really like a martial artist who was
I'm
going to train martial arts and then go fight. Like, what a badass.
What I like about you, though, is that because I'll see you in the gym and you don't poach any fighters. Like, you got all these badasses and you know you can make them better because you're a great trainer. But I'll be like, hey, man, what do you think of that person? They're like, yeah, you know. I'm like, what? Are you going to work with them? I'm like, well, if they want, you wait for everyone to come to you.
Well, it's not that. It's also, you know, and Max will know, you know, when you're on – it's – when you're at Max's level of fighting right now, you need some attention. You need a coach. You need a coach that understands you. You need a coach that's going to be there for you because you can't do it alone.
No way.
You know, you can't do it alone. You got to have a good set of eyes with you and somebody that cares about you. And, man, that's a lot of work on a coach. You know, the more guys you have, the more of you have to give to them, you know. And
the more you take away from others. And
yeah.
Like I don't like train. I don't like when I, you know, when I have fights, you know, I coach a little bit, but I don't like to coach when I have fights because I can't put that attention and do how I want to do it. You know what I mean? Because you have to be selfish.
You know, you can't half the guy. You know what I mean?
You can't.
A little bit. You got to
get it. I'd rather not even do it.
Exactly. So back to that, Adam, is I don't want to overextend myself as well, because I know what they need and what it's going to take. And, you know, I'm busy with the stunts. I'm busy being a dad. And I help, you know, I help where I can. And I don't insert, you know, myself into their training unless, and then a lot of times they do come to me and say, hey, can, you know, you mind helping? And then I will, you know what I mean? I just know that when I get into something, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to get my all, and I'm going to try to make you the baddest ass, you know, girl or dude that you possibly can be. And it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of dedication.
How hard is it for you to like negotiate price? Like, cause you're like, hey, I'll work with you, but you got to give me, what is it, 10% or 15%.
That's another thing I don't do. I just say, look, I'll help you. I can't go travel with you. You know, I can help. I can hit some mitts with you. I can work some ground positions with you and just tighten some things up and help you tighten some things up that I see you kind of need a little help in, and, or, you know, ask them what it is. But I just say, look, this is how much it is. An hour, we've been working together for an hour, and this is how much it is.
Now, Greg, I know you coach comedy. You're a great comedy coach. How invested do you get into your students?
It depends. I mean, some of them I work with a longer time than others. You know, usually they just kind of sign, you know, my regular, you know, I have sessions, these cycles, and it takes about 6 weeks. And over that 6 weeks, I mean, we get to know each other really fucking well. And it's a lot of really trying to bring out the true material in them. So during that time, very invested. But then after that time, there's a lot of them that like refer to me as their mentor or something like that. And I'm kind of like, go live your life, man. I change you. I'm done with you. I got to go be a comedian now. The class is done, you know? So a lot of times, usually once the class is over, I kind of just cut them loose.
I know that when you were single, a lot of them would hit on you. Did you ever hook up with any of your students or no?
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah. That was because, I mean, these aren't kids. These are adults, you know, it's not like I'm a high school teacher. I mean, one of them was this, you know, a divorcee. I think she was probably like, you know, late 30s, super hot. And she tried to bang me like in the showroom right after the workshop.
And did you let her?
He tried.
Well, we were well on our way until like Jack Senior came back and then it's and shut it down.
But did anyone ever try to pay you in blowjobs or?
One time where I felt like a girl was really hinting about it. She was like, oh, because she wanted some private coaching. So I'm at her place. We're going over her material. She's like, oh, it was like $100 or something. And she was like, well, wow, I'm kind of like, she was kind of like trying to like lead up to it, but at the time I really needed $100. So I was like, I'm not gonna, but if she had full on said the words, I'll suck your dick, I probably would have been like, fine, just suck my dick. But she like just kind of sneaked around about it, and I just let her quietly just go get her wallet and fucking write me a check.
There's a girl who's a pretty big comic now, she's doing pretty well, who's like, hey, look, wanna write together? And I'm like, all right. And then halfway through it, she's like, can I blow you? I was like, I'm not gonna say no. But then she, like, halfway through, she takes my dick out of her mouth and goes, this is my next comedy cover. I put it back in, and I was like, you're going to make it.
I don't know if you want your dick to be her comedy cover. I don't know. She's like, this dick is a joke.
No, I got to say, Max, you fought in Gladiator Challenge, right?
Yeah. The parking lots. Parking lots of
outside when
the casino.
You fight out
outside
at Saboba? Gladiator Challenge?
No, I haven't fought at Saboba. It was Red Hawk. That's in Placerville. I fought three times.
It did seem like they were taking good fighters against homeless people in that organization.
It wasn't like that when I was there.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was there, it was actually pretty even. I mean, this was 10 years ago. Now they have the people who set up the cage. They let them fight real fighters.
Really?
What?
Terrible. It's horrendous. I can't stand it.
Hey, Adam, there's
I haven't been 5 or 6 years. Buddy.
You got a chance.
Huh? Hey, first of all,
we can get Adam a gladiator. Well,
they're wearing basketball shorts. They're wearing basketball shorts, fighting, you know, this.
Oh,
fighting like this, fighting season pros with sponsors and all this.
Oh, no.
Hey, eight guys, 8-0 fighting a guy in some basketball shorts, no mouthpiece, straight up.
Dude, Alan Belcher was 15 years old and fought a grown man on the same card that everybody knows who Alan Belcher is, right?
Hell yeah.
So that dude, he was 15 years old. And he fought a guy in a pair of blue jean shorts, man. In a bar, the dude had on blue jean shorts and fighting his kid. And when you know, we're not really thinking anything of it. It was like, man, there's some fights going on. Yeah. You know, I fought that night, and then so did he. And I was like, damn, he's 15, and they're fight at 15. Wrecked that dude. He was a grown man, too.
Yeah.
Wrecked him. It's crazy. Awesome. Crazy days.
Now, I mean, Pyle, you fought in like Denmark, Russia, Lithuania, Japan. What were some of those places like?
Yeah, which one had the hottest ladies?
Oh, Denmark, baby. Woo-wee.
Oh, yeah.
My Lord. And the thing that's good about that, because you had all, you know, you just had different cultures from all over the place that were there. So there was beautiful women that were all mixed, dark, little light, dark skin. Oh man, it was nice. Oh, it was nice.
Well, dude, Pyle's wife is beyond smoking hot. She could be like, if she wanted to, she'd be an Instagram model. I don't know how. I think it was his make a wish or something, but he did very good for himself. And so is Max. Is Max, so that same girl that you had at the
comedy? Yeah.
Very attractive lady.
Thank you, man. You give me grief every time I see you, man.
Yeah, of course, man, of course.
Awesome. It's all he ever asks about. Oh, who are you banging now? You're a pro fighter. You must be so many chicks. Dude, that's so cool.
I got to live vicariously for you guys. What was it like? What was it like working with Will Smith and Tommy Lee on Men in Black 2?
It was cool. It was super cool. You know, when you have a couple gentlemen on set that are at that level, there's just a lot of respect and a lot of quietness and a lot of quiet time and watching and learning, you know what I mean? So we didn't really speak, so to speak. I talked with Will a little bit. One of Will Smith's writers. Do you know Mike Socio? Anyway, so known that guy for a long time. He's a writer. He wrote Kevin Can't Wait.
Oh yeah.
He writes for Kevin as well. And anyway, so he was always been longtime friends with Will and Kevin Randleman. May he rest in peace. Kevin Randleman and I, we landed that job together. Wow. And so we went and the day we were there to get our makeup on and all that, we sat in the chair. We were in Will Smith's trailer. So Will comes in and Mike had put him up to cracking jokes on us. So he came in he comes in and he's like, man, you know, they just hire anybody. They bring in MMA guys that don't know shit about anything on set and ruin movies and just going off. And Kevin Randleman and I are looking at each other like, what is happening? Going on? And then you know, of course, then he starts and Mike comes in and makes big jokes and then all that. But super cool, super professional folks. I learned a lot just by, you know, being in the room and watching the guys work together and how they work together. Was
what'd you do on that movie?
I played an alien. Yeah, I played an alien. So so did Kevin. Kevin was an alien. We were part of
I'll have to watch that.
We were woos. I don't know. I don't know what the hell we were. We had all these prosthetics in. We had these big cauliflower ears. Oh wait, those are real.
Yeah.
But you know,
they saved some money. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those guys look like aliens.
It was fun stuff. You learn a lot when you work with people at that level. You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's crazy. Hey,
Max, that'd be crazy.
Max, I feel like a lot of people look at you and tell you you look like somebody. Like, you look like you could look like three different dudes.
Like Drake?
Who do people tell you you look like?
Drake.
I've heard Drake.
Drake is the one that comes to my mind, too, is Drake, yeah.
I've heard Drake. I've heard Michael B. Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I see Drake.
John Mayer.
Used to be,
John Mayer.
John Mayer.
When I was like a teenager, Nelly, you know.
Oh, no, you're better looking than Nelly.
Yeah. I don't know. I change it up, you know.
No, I just figured you had to hear that a lot because looking at you, you're like, do people come up to you and like mistaking you for one of those dudes and be like, oh my God, you're fucking Michael B. Jordan and shit. And you're like, no, I'm not, motherfucker.
It's happened, yeah. When I got a haircut, you know, Michael B. Jordan, you know, yeah, man, it's happened, bro.
Yeah, I figured.
It's crazy, Greg. I was saying, like, with Pyle, like, when people sometimes find out we're comics, they just want to tell us jokes on every level. Like, I was at a diner one time. It was New Year's Eve, and John Mayer was by himself. And someone's like, oh, you're John Mayer. And he's like, comes at our table and sits with me and, like, five comics, finds out we're comics, and tells us, like, 3 hours of the worst jokes you've ever heard. But it was like really nice about, like, it was like 10 years ago. He said, you know, it was a nice guy. And I'm like, what was it like banging Katy Perry? And he was like,
of course,
a Jew and a lawyer walk into a bar. I'm just like, come on, man.
Well, you know, he's tried stand up. He's wanted to be a stand up for a long time.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be a stand up comic.
They put him up at the Cellar a couple of times.
I feel like stand ups are the coolest people in a room until rock stars come or fighters, and then no one wants to talk to us all.
I do.
Yeah. So what do you think now? You're the Fight Island. Are you excited about the prospect of Fight Island or no?
Something different. It's gonna be like old school Mortal Kombat, you know.
Yeah,
I like it.
Actually, like,
I like it too. Fuck it. Let's do this.
I like that old movie with Bruce Lee when they all went to the island to go fight, man.
Yeah.
What are the chances it's Jeffrey Epstein's old island? It's available. It available. It probably has plenty of seating.
Like the fucking ring car girls come out. They're like, well, we're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. That's so gross. You know, talk about a place you'd have to sterilize.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right?
I mean, it has to be big enough to, you know, to get like the airplane strip, and I don't know, man. Where do you think it's going to be? I mean, where are available islands?
They were saying Catalina, but like, the fighters don't catch Corona. They need to catch chicken pox at like Epstein Island.
They catch mono.
Yeah.
There has been some MMA news, actually. So Chris Weidman, who I was a big Weidman fan, he lost 4-5.
That's my boy.
He was booked to fight Yoel Romero. It's like, are they giving this guy any easy fights?
Why? Didn't they already fight?
Yeah.
But isn't everything postponed, or are you saying this didn't happen?
Yeah, Romero cracked his head open.
I know, and he's going to fight him again.
His dad came in the cage. It was bad.
I would say no if I were anyone.
Yeah.
Fighting Romero. That dude is a
I don't know.
Man.
Now both you guys fought Colby Covington early in your career. Did you think that Colby was going to be a champ one day?
I didn't. Not the way he fought me.
Oh, there you go.
Max?
I knew he was good because I've never been beat. You know what I mean? I was like, hold on. I don't like him, but I got to give him some respect for beating. You know what I mean? Like, he beat me. You know what I mean?
His name is Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That dude, there's something about Colby that, like, there's nothing special about him. But he's just so, like, whether it's his work rate or fight IQ or discipline, like, something about him that's just, it's odd.
He has really good wrestling.
He's great. He's
good control and good pace.
Exactly. It's not like you look at him and you're like, wow, what an amazing fighter. But it's just like, fuck, you go in there with him and it's like, Jesus Christ, what am I supposed to do? Like, I feel like Usman's like that too. Like, he just, it's just relentless. Like, they're both just relentless.
Yeah, that was a good fight they had.
Yeah, that was a hell of a fight.
Hell yeah.
So John Jones and Stylebender are feuding today on Twitter.
Again?
Yeah, so.
Good. We need anything. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So Stylebender posted, "Hey, pussy, John, are you still there?" And then John Jones posted a picture of Stylebender getting knocked out in his kickboxing fight that says, "Wasting all that good oxygen," because he has an oxygen tank. Someone wake this bitch up and change his tampon. So that's what he posted. Then he deleted it. And then Israel screenshotted it and said, "I've been knocked out once and never made that mistake again. How many times have you been arrested? How many times have you pissed hot? How many times have you had your belt taken off of you? You'd never learn, do you?"
Just with all three, just whop.
You
put them on the island. That one, though.
He called
just them on the island.
He called them a pulsing a pulsing picto pussy.
Dude, this island idea is so bad. It's just going to erupt. Okay, because think about all the fights that could happen in the stands that don't, because there's police there. Because right. You might actually get in legal trouble. You erase that, and it's literally going to turn into, you know, the Hunger Games.
But there's also There's no stands. There's going to be no fans if they do it on Fight Island. That's the whole point.
There'll be other fighters in the wings waiting to go.
Yeah, but nowadays we like to get paid to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the training guys, the guys that are there as your trainers?
Well, they might want to chunk some knuckles, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. This thing, and then it just snowballs. I'm just saying, keep the cameras rolling. That's all.
That's right. The cameras rolling.
Never keep know. The cameras rolling.
Corners brawling in the back. I wonder if they're going to use the Fire Festival Island. Just use all that stuff.
I actually texted Dana. I said, "Can I get tickets to Fight Island?" Right when it got announced, and he really? Because how am I going to get tickets to that? Like, they're going to let me just show up, you know?
Did you just name drop?
What? No, I thought it was funny, and then he wrote back winky emoji.
Dude, so, we can get the we can just rent a boat. We'll just rent a boat. We'll find out when it is, and we'll watch it from the boat.
What are the dead TV golds already there? Like, he's just waiting there. I think Fight Island's a great idea, actually. I don't know if they're gonna pull it off, but he says he's very close. Dana said, and Dana does not like taking no for an answer. He's just one of those.
And they don't lie ever either, so.
Well, yeah,
never.
Yeah, now, Pyle, what do you think your best win was?
My best win? It's when I beat those rape charges, bro.
Ooh. Oh, shit just got real.
All right.
I think, I don't know, man. I
are there any that you'd want back? I mean, you're not fighting anymore. But
I'd want them all back. I want them all back.
There's not one that's one of the other that's like, fuck, this is the one that a mental mistake or I didn't train or something. Just want all of them.
Yeah, there's just so many of them that I just want them all back. I'd love to have every single one of them back.
What about Hathaway fight when you went to England and beat the
I was going to say, yeah, you know, he was 14-0. I was on the main card. It was a big deal. He'd never been beaten before. I beat the brakes off of him.
In England, nice. Too.
In England, there in front of his folks, yeah. That was a good win.
Sorry, man. You ever had a loss that, like, just you couldn't get out of your head? Like, went to sleep and closed your eyes and, like, immediately it starts replaying or, like, anything like that? Like, any advice for young fighters who are going through a tough time, like, trying to get over a loss or get through something?
And the best way to just get over the loss is to just pick your bottom lip up and get back to the damn gym. And hopefully you got a good strong team with you that'll help pick you up and just can't cry about it, man. Job's already hard enough on our body mentally and physically to be in the gym every day and having dudes pounding on you or you're trying to keep someone off of you. You know what I mean? It's just you're always fighting. I mean, you're prepping for violence on a daily basis. You know what I mean? It's already hard enough. So if you want to if you've got emotional baggage that you want to carry around with you all the time, but I lost it. Well, pick your lip up, man. Pick your bottom lip up and stop bitching and whining about it. And just the best thing is just to continue to get better. That's it. Just all you can do is just get back to the gym, figure out maybe what your mistake was or what your mental mistake might have been. Seek the mental preparation and help that you need. If your ego will let you go, you know what? I need some mental training.
Right.
Because we're all, man, I'm not gonna lie, my knees are knocking every time I'm going out there, right?
Oh yeah. It's fucking terrible.
It's very intimidating. So you always try to find different ways
that you were
overcome all that.
Now, that fight was in England. Let me ask you, the international travel, how big a factor is the international travel to the person that has to travel?
You know, I almost feel like a lot of my losses that I did lose in UFC was here in town, you know, for the most part. I always feel like I needed that travel. I needed that little extra getaway, get out of my house, not sleep in my own bed and have that
uncomfortableness.
Yeah, all that uncomfortableness, because here I'm just too comfy. Now I show up, I'm like, yeah, I'm at the arena. Pow! Shit.
Right.
That's interesting. I would have thought it'd be the opposite of that. That's very interesting.
But Mike, you're also like a people pleaser. You're one of these guys that has to make sure everyone's having a good time, which is what I love about you. But that's got to be hard in Vegas. Because all the people that come to see you and everyone there, and you got to make sure everyone has tickets and everyone's. Sure.
Yeah, it's a little, it's just no excuses. All those times I got beaten, you know what I mean? I don't know if it matters what soil I was on or whatever, but I just think maybe that I always did better traveling with,
For me as a comic, I hate doing comedy in front of people I know. Because I feel like.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like they've heard some of these jokes or they're judging me.
Yeah.
Not having
totally. They're thinking if you're talking about them specifically, like, was that me? Did you, were you talking about me when you said that? It's like, no, I never think about you.
I got to do extra crowd work so that they hear, make sure everyone hears brand new shit. Like,
sure.
Even if they came before, it's just like, people come, I'm going to see you tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, fuck, if it's the same show tomorrow, they're going to be disappointed. You know, so for me, so the road is so good because it's a fresh crowd.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
And getting laid was always easier on the road, too.
Yeah. Really?
No, there's a time limit. There's a time limit. They know you're leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. There's no maybe we'll get together. No. It's like, this shit's happening or it's not.
Or Times Square. If you were in New York, because I feel like women are on vacation, where like their bucket list was like, go to New York, fuck a guy, have fun, and then you'd be the guy. So that was always a good time.
Yeah. that was like having a net at a stream with all, and the fish are just running and you're right. Just catching them in the net, throwing them on the shorts. That was Times Square.
Oh no, whenever I would like have sex with a girl in Times Square back in the day, and then I'd like try to go to their place, it was a whole different experience. Now they're they're working, I'm in there. That's why everyone says, even as a comic, they're like, if you meet a girl at a comedy club, go right from the comedy club to the hotel. Don't go to the local bar because you lose your power. Because they see you on stage, and then you see you back in your hotel.
You're magical.
You're like every asshole in there at that bar. You know, like all of a sudden your coolness went fucking.
And then there's five other dudes there that banged her last night.
Yeah, or they want to fight you. Or they want to fight you because they want to. They want to know that they beat up the comic. Like I beat up the fucking guy. Do you ever have guys try to test you because you're? UFC fighter that were like, oh, I want to see if I could take him.
Nah, I think people are pretty smart now. When they watch what goes on there, they figure that there's no way they could do that.
Yeah,
it's pretty rare. Like, I had one friend, this was 5 years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, that still was like, jiu-jitsu. I don't believe jiu-jitsu work, this and that. I could just do whatever. And like, we were buddies, so I was like, all right, let's fucking roll. So we cleared out the living room.
Yeah,
I had him on, he was unconscious in 10 seconds. Like, he was like, wait, let's go again. Rear naked. I sat down. Like, we started, we tapped hands, and I just sat. And he was like, what are you doing? And I grabbed his leg, pulled him down to the ground, and choked him.
Who are you talking to?
How'd that happen? Wait, no, you can't. Let's do it again.
Now, what do you think for like a
times just tap,
no,
tap,
no, like a bar fight? Because I remember I was at a bar with Greg. We wanted to watch Bubba Jenkins, fight, and yeah, there was a guy that was being such a dick to us. And then Greg looks at the guy with a big nose. That nose is so breakable.
It was. It was a very breakable nose. It looked very shatterable. It just looked like one good tap, and it was just going to change, you know?
But, Tyler, what do you think is the best fight, martial art for a bar fight?
For a bar fight, honestly, Krav Maga. A lot of people talk shit about Krav Maga. But the beauty of Krav Maga is they focus on, what's up, dude?
What's up, little man? What are you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Waiting for my mom.
All right, well.
Oh, yeah?
You never got into a fight, right?
A bar fight? A couple.
Never got into a fight?
Oh, have you ever been to a fight, little man?
I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, who'd you fight against?
Oh, yeah, and I don't even know where.
You fight someone at school on the playground?
Don't fight anybody, okay? Just tell your dad, because your dad can beat up everyone else's dad. So,
right. Right. And there.
yeah, but I think a lot of people talk shit about Krav Maga, but Krav Maga, the one thing that every jiu-jitsu school that I've been to, MMA gym, Muay Thai, boxing. They never really talk about my like mental mindset in a street fight. Like, look, this is not the sport. This is not, I'm trying to beat this guy in a fight. This is like, I could die. So you have to have the mindset of like, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. And that's what Krav Maga is. Krav Maga is like, well, I'm not going to like worry about points. I'm going to kick you in the nuts and gouge your eyes.
So Pyle, what's right. That, like for a bar
if,
fight,
yeah. If I'm in a bar fight, I'm kicking you in the nuts and biting your face. Like
it's
I don't.
The best martial art for a bar fight, Pyle.
Best martial art? No martial art.
Crazy.
Right hand straight to the jaw. Put him down, and then it's over with.
Yeah. Well, no, wouldn't that be boxing?
A punch to the mouth.
Yeah.
Right on the chin. Shut him up. Or you just sweep. I've done it a million times. I used to do it when I bounced too. I just sweep them to the floor and put my knee on them and just keep holding there and let them feel stupid for a second. And
yeah, when I was bouncing, I would get a lot of guys, and it was so easy because they're drunk too. So it's like,
yeah,
so easy to just do a little foot sweep, like trip, and just hold them on the ground, and they're like, ooh,
yeah,
come on, man, and you're like.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that a couple times.
Like, have you really?
And I'm just like, hey, man, what are you doing, man?
Yeah,
I didn't
exactly.
Do anything,
yeah,
bro.
Wait, hold up. Greg, when was that?
You know, forever ago, back in Dallas, I think. I remember getting a knee on the chest. I remember thinking to myself, too, I was like, who puts the knee on my chest?
I had a guy.
What were you doing to cause that?
I don't know. Being me,
being Greg.
You know, I was being out of control, making whatever. I did something. Undoubtedly, I'm sure I deserved it more times than it happened.
You probably deserved it, is what you're saying, right? You probably deserved.
Oh, I totally deserved it, 1,000%.
No. This podcast recently, I got a lot of hate over the weekend because of the. As you know, we got to figure out the Mayhem situation because it just wasn't something. Things were off and yada, yada. And I was reading them, which is the worst part. Like I read, somebody said, Adam, you skinny, fat, balding Jew who stutters. And that was like one of the good ones, you know? Pyle, I know, did you ever receive like shit on the internet from your fighting or your personality? And did you ever give them any mind?
No, don't pay any mind to them. I'd never have went back and forth with anyone on social. I refuse to. Never have, never will.
Yeah. Silence is always your best defense because they're trying to get a rise out of you.
Did it ever,
that's
did it
what
ever,
they want to know.
Did it ever get to you? Did it ever get to you, though, at all? Did it ever, like...
Yeah, you know, there would be some things, you know, like if I'd gotten knocked out or something, it'd be like, you know, like, what's the view like? Or something, you know, some stupid thing, you know, something like that. I just, whatever, and it's just some troll sitting behind the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Picking boogers has never even sprinted before, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I tell you, I think the mayhem thing will even out when you can get back to being in the same room again. I think part of it was just, you know, filling the air because it's digital and there's a little bit of lag and things like that. And he had that, you know, he was having problems with his tech and stuff like that. I think once everybody can get back together in one room, it'll be totally fine.
I think it's never going to happen. I think we need a healthy break, but you know, definitely open to, you know, discussions and stuff like that. So that's, you know, it's just like, we'll figure it all out. You know,
eventually.
What?
Eventually.
Eventually.
We're back in regular society.
Yeah.
Exactly. When things even back out, everyone's in the same room on a set of mics over at the Speedweed Studios or something, then I think it'll be much more back to the chemistry that it originally was. Right. You know?
Of course. Now, what do you think is going to happen when this is over? Like, is everyone just going to, because I can't wait to get back to classes with my kid and going to the Muay Thai classes and comedy.
I'll tell you what, driving around now, like even in the quarter of the traffic and the quarter of the people that are out now compared to a month and a half ago, I remember why I've been waiting for this my entire life, because I fucking hate people, dude. Like, I get in my car, I'm like, who are, like, everybody in my neighborhood is walking in the middle of the street. People aren't supposed to be out, so we're just gonna walk in a row of five people in the middle of the street while there's cars coming. Like
right now, doing this
street.
Doing that now. Oh my god, that's crazy.
All the bikes. I went to Walmart to do something. I went to look for a shotgun. Is what it was. I was looking for a shotgun. Dude, all the exercise equipment is all the little small weights. You know, gone.
Gone, cleared out, totally.
People now, people want to shape. I've seen so many more people exercising than, like, more than.
Dude, it's incredible.
What else are you gonna do? I mean, you gotta fill the day, you know.
Having a kid is different, though. We have to watch a baby because everyone's like, people are telling me, why don't you just get rid of the kid during the podcast? Because my wife works from 8 a.m. to 6, and we don't have a nanny. She's on a break right now for half hours while she has a kid, but watching a kid is a full time job, especially a 2-year-old. No, fucking educating. I'm exhausted at 6 o'clock. I'm just like, oh my god. Especially when you can't
wait to have another one, huh? How many you guys gonna have? About 4 of them.
Especially when you can't take the kid outside to do anything. It's one thing if like I take her to class, take her to this class, Zoom class, tie her out.
Does she have a pool?
I have a backyard. But like, he's taking her to the park right now, oh my god! Everyone's like, I have so much free time. I'm learning up knitting, and I'm taking up none of that.
Scary. I remember when this stuff started popping off. I'm going through I got my shopping cart. I'm at the grocery store. I'm walking through there. I'm looking at everybody. Everybody's looking at me. Shelves are empty. People wearing masks and gloves, and I'm just like, whoa.
It's weird.
Whoa. Yeah, man. Shit got Mad Max real fucking fast, man.
People don't even want to make eye contact anymore. You know, like, I turned the corner in the store the other day, like, walked down the aisle, and there's a lady on the opposite side of the aisle, like, 30 yards away, and she stops and turns around and goes the other way. I was like,
it is so crazy. Really?
I want to make a remake of Friday the 13th where Jason's wearing a mask with a mask over it.
When I was on March 9th, the beginning of March, I had to go to Denver to do this family thing. And I remember being in the Uber going to the airport, and I was like, yeah. And he and I both were both like, yeah, I know. It seems like they're just exaggerating it. I mean, it's not even, you know, like 9 people have done. Like, I think it's out of control. That was on the 9th on Monday. By the time I flew home on the 11th, I was wearing a mask, and I was just like, and I swear to God, and I was like, I shouldn't be on this plane. Why did I leave my house? I got to get home. I got to disinfect. I'm wiping down everything with wipes that I'd had in my backpack for years. I was like, I got wipes. Oh, my God. Like, it was in 2 days, everything changed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, having a wife and a kid, obviously, I have the most to live for. But a part of me, there's another part of me, is like, you know, I had a pretty good run. I gave it my best. Like, I think some people will be upset.
Oh, well.
I think people will be upset that I'm gone. I think I'll make a couple marquees, like, rest in peace, Adam Hunter. Like, thank you for making us laugh. But, yeah, man, it's rough. It is rough. But I'm telling you, Greg, do one of my Zoom shows because it's a world of difference, dude. Plus, like, everyone's going to be so out of whack by the time this thing starts up again. I want to be, like, fresh, you know?
Okay. You know, I'm not against it.
All right, don't
I'm
do
just
it.
Not, like, ecstatic to do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all not right, the same. Well, and that's the other thing. When it comes to this business, I mean, for me to get back on stage in front of a live audience, this thing has to be cured because I got a wet mouth. I tend to spit all over everything. So this is not a good dynamic for this particular, you know, this particular virus. So I think I need to wait until we've been like fully cured, eradicated before I can ever take the stage again.
But maybe just go in one of those bubbles you walk in.
Yeah, get the bubbles.
like bubble boy. Yeah.
The pile, you know,
like people in the water.
Yeah.
Walking on water, we get one of those fuckers.
But dude, like, Kyle, you know, like, even when it comes to like being away, you're away from your wife or your girl for a while, and then you come back, you want to be with her. When you're with her all the time, it's like, my wife is like, go to have sex. I'm like, social distancing, 6 feet away. You have to stay 6 feet away right now. it's crazy.
Social distancing in the sheet.
That's right.
I can't even watch porn because if I get caught watching porn, it's over. Like, you know, like,
it's over.
If I'm watching porn, I'm watching porn during quarantine and my wife asked me, she's gonna be like, I'm right here. Like, I'm like, yeah, but you know, you just,
well, yeah, you're right still. There.
My wife's hilarious. She's taken to telling me the exact amount of time she's gonna be gone. Like, as if to say, listen, I'm gonna be gone for an hour, so get your jerk offs in, okay? I don't want to come back and have you still fucking, okay? You got 1 hour. I will be back in an hour. And I know that's what she's telling me. So I'm like, thanks, babe.
Has she ever caught you or no?
Almost once. That's it. Just almost. She like left and then forgot something and came back. And I was just.
Five seconds out the door, pants are already down.
I looked so guilty too. There was nothing about it that didn't just stink of me about to jerk off. It was terrible.
What about under the bed? You guys ever gotten caught doing it under the bed?
Under the bed?
Under the bed?
Yeah.
While she's sleeping? No.
While she's sleeping.
That's a good hiding spot, huh?
I don't know. I don't have kids, so I don't have to do it under the bed. I do it right on top of the bed. While the wife is out.
All over that bed.
All over it.
Tyler, how did
we have a white duvet?
How did the Marines do it? Because you guys are all together all the time. You wait for everyone to go.
Did you just put on some kind of Cylon voice synthesizer? Damn. What the fuck is that?
Who's what you went to the dark for, to the dark side.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, queefed.
Is it still like that?
No, it's better now.
Okay.
You were speaking in pussy fart. It was the main great pussy fart.
So the main spot in the military is the porta shitter. You go to the porta shitter and jerk off.
That's
like, I thought you guys just did it in your bunk and fucking announced it like loading number one. Ta-dang! I mean,
that hoorah! Too, like that too. Yeah. You know, when you're in like. Schoolhouse in Florida, it was like you have two roommates, so you're in a room like 15 by 15 foot room with two other guys, and it's like, all right, well, when they're asleep, I'm going to town, and vice versa. You know what happens. But porta shitters are usually like anytime you're out in the field, which sucks because you got gear, you got all your gear on, you have to go in there with your rifle. It's fucking 100 degrees outside. You're sitting in the plastic thing. The shit smells. You're like, I'm going to fucking burn it. God damn it. And it's
just. Now that's an accomplishment. That is an accomplishment right there.
And you learn how to get it done quick. It's not about, it's not an experience, you know, it's not like I'm going to take my time, I'm going to get this. It's like, nah, this has to go.
But I mean, how do you even get turned on? Like, what do you see that starts it that you're like, okay, that's all I needed to see. Here we go.
Well, like, it's always, I mean, you're also, keep in mind, most of us were 19, 20, so
you don't have to see it. There you go.
It's just there. Yeah. It's like, all right, hey, I got to go take a shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, you had your gun next to you, and you're in all kinds of gear. And
this
still
is my rifle. This is my gun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is for jerking off.
And usually, I mean, when I was in, it was 2009, 2010. So, like, I still had a shitty flip phone that you could barely get internet on. You're getting pixelated tits. Like, whatever, man. Or a magazine or a picture.
Yeah, bring back the magazines, baby.
Here's what you got.
Yeah, dude, I was in high school, Victoria's Secret catalogs were like, that was the thing.
Sears.
That could get it started, but I couldn't really finish the Victoria's Secret.
What do you move on to? Men's Journal?
Ink, actually. The small business publication, Ink. Was that? Jesus.
Well, listen. Yeah,
remember, remember that one porno mag called We?
No.
O-U-I? It had the French name, We?
We.
Oh, girl, man. The girls that was a good one.
The girls that have hairy armpits and stuff? Or?
Oh, yeah. Big bush. Lots of bush.
Lots of bush.
Your wife's from Russia. She saved it now.
What do you think? You think I'd think I'll let a chick sit around my house with hairy armpits?
No, I'm talking about her.
the other parts.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
It's gotta be at least a trim, man. I don't think anybody's still sporting like a bush.
Yeah. Chicks don't like that.
I don't know, for some girls it's kind of made a comeback.
Dude, yeah. I'll tell you what, the first 3 weeks of this quarantine, I was
right now I wouldn't care
going on. Yeah.
Really? Wouldn't care?
Huh?
Right now I wouldn't care. I'll just part that hair. I'll find it. I'll get it.
My wife wears a face mask on her vagina. Just saying.
Get them
anyway, listen, people. that's our podcast. Tomorrow we got Uriah Faber on.
Right on.
We also have Jesse Jane and Michael Blackson.
Nice.
Yeah. Wednesday, I'll go for the whole lineup because we're going strong this week, guys. Anything we can do to help make the quarantine better for you guys, And so we got Nate Quarry, Juliana Pena, Faber, and Wednesday Jesse Jane, Dave Rickles, Eve Edwards.
Nice. Thursday,
we got Jay Haran, Kelvin Gastelum. Friday,
wow.
Dawson, Sarah McMahon. So we got stack shows this week.
Nice.
Pyle.
That's awesome, man. Thanks, there's a lot of bored people.
Thank you for everything you do. Pyle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys, yeah, right on. Thanks. Good stuff. Right.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, guys. See you guys tomorrow. Take care, guys.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр болан. Та дас дуутан дөр болан бүр та.